20 minutes past 8 o'clock every second Thursday, fortnightly, we speak to Professor Irina Filatova, Professor Emeritus at the University of KZN, talking about emerging economies with a focus on Russia and Russo-related stories. Good morning, Professor. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hello.
Lots have been spoken about over the last few weeks with the visit of the Russian foreign minister, also military exercises that are going to be taking place. But instead of giving in to pressure, South Africa vowed this week to strengthen the bilateral ties between this country and Russia as it embarks on joint military exercises this month along with China. But this also coincides with the anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Russia is becoming more and more active in Africa. It's not only South Africa, but Lavrov visited the Angola, Eswatini, and Eritrea during his visit, too. What is behind it? There are several motives. First of all, of course, Russians do need to demonstrate to the world that they are not isolated. But there are practical reasons, too. We do not know exactly what agreements were signed between South Africa and Russia. We do not know exactly even all the spheres in which the cooperation is going to develop. But we do know what was mentioned during the press conference, and this is practically the whole economy, energy, nuclear, mining, agriculture, all of it in one way or another is going to be the spheres in which Russia and South Africa are going to cooperate. That is the situation.
Meanwhile, Irina, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he's reported as saying that he's willing to mediate in the Russian-Ukraine war if he is asked, but he's one of many who has said this. Turkey has also expressed interest. South Africa somehow wants to play itself as some sort of peace broker. I don't know how neutral that position would be if it is expressing, you know, continued bilateral relations with Russia, if it's hosting Russia with military exercises, if it is a strong BRICS partner in the BRICS grouping. But the question remains, would Russia, i.e. Vladimir Putin, want any form of mediation, particularly with Benjamin Netanyahu as the broker?
Benjamin Netanyahu has a better chance than South Africa in mediating, because he has very good relations both with Russia and with Ukraine. And Israelis' interests partially coincide with those of Ukrainians and partially coincide with those of the Russians. But Netanyahu is a very, very experienced politician, and he just didn't offer his mediation. He simultaneously said that I have been here for a long time, so I do know that there has to be a proper time, proper moment for any such mediation to happen. And it was obvious from his words that he thinks that such moment has not yet arrived. But he also said that for him to mediate, he needs the agreement of both parties and also of the United States. That is also very clever of him. I don't think that South Africans said anything like that when they offered their mediation. Mm. They just relied on their record of a country which mediated its own peaceful transition from an authoritarian to a democratic regime. But that's not enough. It certainly didn't show its neutrality to Ukraine.
Vladimir Zelensky, he went on a global tour on video link speaking to parliaments around the world. The Israeli Knesset was one of the first legislative bodies that he addressed via video link. In that address, he said that Russia was planning the final solution of Ukraine. And this obviously harks back to sentiment or words associated with the Holocaust and the murder of 6 million Jews. Is obviously a very powerful, emotive sentiment that he then addressed the Knesset with. Do you think Russia, Vladimir Putin, would, if Benjamin Netanyahu is brought in as some sort of broker, may use Zelensky's address to the Knesset, you know, as some form of reason to say, actually, Israel isn't an impartial broker in what could be a peace negotiation?
Well, they will never use the analogy with the Holocaust, because in all Zelensky's addresses to foreign leaders, he was very skillful in that, but his only mistake was to compare what is going on in Ukraine with the Holocaust, because that was not met very well in Israel. But these are the words which Russian propaganda uses, that the Russians need a final solution to the Ukrainian question. There's no doubt about it that this is a direct quote from what the Russian media has been saying from the beginning of the war. And it is quite obvious that for the Russians, this is a very important motive they do, and Putin does himself, although I don't remember him using these words, but for him, the Ukrainian question is the existential question of Russia's existence. No, there won't be a parallel with Holocaust, but there could be any other motivation for Israel to justify its mediating role, such as it has been helping Ukraine underhand. For example, we do not know who bombed the Iranian facilities, some of which are supplying the Russians with drones, for example, or some other military equipment, but probably it could be Israel, because that is a common interest and common enemy for Ukraine and Israel. And simultaneously, Israel has very good trading relations with Russia, and Israel refused to supply Ukraine with what they call the anti-missile defense systems, which Israel itself has. Israel has a lot of weight in this issue, but it will not rush into mediating if there is no hope for success.
Really appreciate your time, Professor Irina Filatova, with our Emerging Economies, A Focus on Russia. She's with us again in a fortnight's time.